I'm trying to hear if a pin drops. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad you're here today, and I thank God for each one of you. I thank the Lord for those watching on social media today. Tune in. And you're as important as the people that are here. But I really thank the Lord for each one of you to show up. Now, you know something, we're in our country, excuse me, in our country right now. This country's under attack. You're probably seeing it on the news and everything, and we should be thankful for America. We don't know what's going to happen unless the Lord intervenes, but the way it's going right now in the political world, we're seeing a lot of things happening in our different states. In Dallas, Texas, 48 mosques have been built, or old churches bought and turned into mosques. You think it can't happen in other cities and other states? It's happening right here in the Twin Cities. Things are happening. Christians are being put down and warned not to speak our faith. But another faith is shouting louder, and they're getting in by the thousands in groups and marching down cities and warning the Christians. When will we become thankful for the church? When will we become thankful for this word that we avoided? See, it's really the church. I like to keep bringing that up because 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. The enemy is standing up and they're broadcasting to us what they're going to do. And we may have to stand for what we believe. We may have to do that. Are you ready? The church is so busy being entertained. They don't want anything else. They don't want to hear this stuff. But it's happening right in front of us in our political system. Thank God for the watchman that God installs in our political system in America that is watching over these things and coming against it and working to fight to keep things fair and legal and honest. Amen? Amen. And so we need to have a thankful heart. You're going to hear that word thankful a lot today. Everybody say thankful.
Thankful.
Are you?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We need to be thankful. We need to be so thankful. Rick said it earlier too. We need to be thankful for America. I've been in Russia, and even though they had loosened up some freedoms over there, when you go into a country like that, you can feel the oppression. Where it's been taught to hate God, or God is dead, or you're not permitted to worship, you're not permitted. And right now, they're kind of going back that way again. I just heard the other day, they're going after churches who aren't registered with the state. And three of them been closed down yesterday. You think that can happen in America? It can. If the church doesn't get our act together and repent of the sin within the church and come to God and say, God, forgive us, and go out and do what he's called us to do, and to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. We need to be out in the streets by the thousands too right now. And if that need come to the Twin Cities area, we need to be involved. We need to stand for what we believe. We need not hide from it. We need to be bold as lions, because it's happening. We are in a spiritual warfare designed to take away our freedom and this nation. They're boldly telling us it, even over the news now, that we're here to take over. We are going to gain this, talking about Islam. We're going to take over the whole world. We're going to do it nation by nation. And they've started in America. We're watching it happen right now. We've got to squelch it. We need to stand up strong. We need to be a church repentive and turning away from all the foolishness, things that are happening, and get back to the seriousness. You know, I like coming to a church like Crossfire. In other churches, there's many, many like us. We're not unique and different. But we are a remnant church. And I thank God that we can come to a church like Crossfire And we don't come in here to entertain one another, do we? We don't do that. We come here for the one audience, God, to worship Him, to praise Him, to give Him all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, because it's because of Him that we have the freedom to come together as the church. And we need to be told the truth of the Word of God in order to grow and to become bold as lions and to stand for what we believe. I'm curious, and we may find out, how many churches will start to empty if this country goes any deeper in away from the things of God. I don't want it to. That's why we need to speak the truth and not be afraid to do it, even to one another. So, my message today is to be, to have. Are you ready? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this new day. We rejoice in it, for you made it. You've got a purpose and a calling to fulfill this day out. Lord, help us to look to you, even in our personal life, for that day, this day throughout, that we will follow your word in how we live our lives and how we look at other things and treat other people, even our own family. I pray that your anointing be upon this congregation and those watching by social media, that your word is an anointed word and it is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, I pray, Father, that your word today, your word, Lord, will touch people's lives, that we will not just hear it today, but we will walk out and carry it within our hearts and remember every day is so precious and so special because you make them. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Look at somebody and tell them, I have an attitude of gratitude. I think we should do it once more. I have an attitude of gratitude. You know, I like it when we say it when we see teeth. And even if you don't have teeth right now, praise the Lord, you forgot the other ones at home, you can still say it and we can gum it. But we need to have an attitude of gratitude, amen?
Amen.
We ought not walk around glum, and even when we see the negative things that are happening in our world, there's a lot of good things happening in this nation right now too. And I'm praying that God will continue to move that direction. But long ago, there was a great British poet. He was a famous writer whose writing had blessed many. Even before he died, he made a great deal of money. A newspaper reporter cynically came up to Mr. Kipling. I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writing amounts to over $100 a word. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." The reporter reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Mr. Kipling and said, "Here's $100 bill. Now give me one of your $100 words." Rudyard Kipling looked at that piece of currency for a moment, then he folded it up and he put it in his pocket. And he said, "Thanks." Author unknown. So our text today, if you brought your Bibles, I want to encourage people again to bring Bibles. Not your iPhones. We all got the iPhones and some of us play with them during church and we shouldn't probably. We should probably listen to the preacher, even if he's charismatic or not, as long as he's preaching the word. We should bring our Bibles. Nothing beats the sound of the paper. You used to do that. We got saved. There wasn't no iPhones like we got today. And everybody brought Bibles. And it was the pastors say, turn to chapter 5, verses 16 and 18. You hear, you know, and we didn't have air conditioning, so that helped move the air in the room, the turning of the pages. But I just want to encourage people to do that anyway. It's a testimony to your neighbor. It also helps you to remember to be thankful for the Word of God also. and you can open it up. If you disagree with something I'm saying or how I interpret it, that's fine. We can discuss that. And if it's really off, then get rid of me. I don't ever want to preach a false doctrine. Now, I may look at something differently, you may on something, and that's okay. We can discuss that and reason together. But as long as it's amen.
Amen.
That's what we need. We need the Bible being preached in its entirety, the whole counsel of God's word in this hour right now, not eliminating anything just to appease the crowd. We can't do that. We need the word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18. Rejoice evermore. I like how Paul started out. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In what? In everything. How much is everything? It's everything. It's everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This morning sitting here, God is telling us to give thanks for it. Good or bad? You know why Paul can say that? Because he's serving a God as a God of the impossible, that even the bad things in our life, God can turn to good. God has a reason and a purpose for everything. The devil may mean it to destroy us, but God is able to turn it around and bring good within our life and to help us grow maturely in our walk with Him also. And thanks being an expression of gratitude, Paul is not giving a suggestion. He's actually giving us a command, is what he's doing. We should be thankful for, again, I said earlier, America. Amen?
Amen.
And be thankful we're able to come together.
Amen.
Amen. I wonder what this community be like right now without Crossfire. It's a Wonderful Life. Remember the show? God put us here for a purpose, for a reason, and God has used this body to do a lot in our community. To come together in fellowship. Look at the fellowship we've had through the 15 years here. Thankful for our freedoms. We take our freedoms for granted, don't we? You know how I know? Because there's so much complaining and murmuring about things in life. In reality, God has blessed this nation so much. I remember growing up on a farm, out in a hay field and bale hay with my dad and my uncles and stuff, and just enjoying being out there running loose and free in a beautiful nation. And even though we didn't have a lot of money or anything, God always supplied every need we had. But we had the freedom to go anywhere and do anything we wanted to. And God blessed our nation. And every time I think of that, I think how sad it is that our nation is under the attack the way it is. And if people just realize how beautiful this nation would be, that God has created this nation for a reason to get His word throughout the world. How beautiful even more that this country would be. Paul said to be thankful. When we experience trials and sicknesses and accidents and death in families and friends, negative consequences because of our own actions of sin, and it's going to fall upon Christians the same as it does the world. We have the same problems, don't we? The same things happen to us as it does in the world. Why? Because we're in a fallen world. That's why it happens. Paul tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because Christ, in Christ, there is hope and glory. Colossians, remember 3:5, I believe it is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In our life, you can go back to the Word and say, I have Christ in me. No matter what happens around me, I have hope. I think somebody told me that somebody shot themselves at Cub Food here in Fridley a day or so ago with a rifle, killed themselves. Hopeless. God's people never have to be hopeless. If you have Christ in you, you have hope because you have tomorrow, you have victory, you have triumph in your life, and you have guidance that it comes through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We always have hope no matter how bleak or what we're going through, terrible it may look. You need to quote the Word of God. I have hope. I have hope because God is intervening in my life. Somewhere, somehow, I'm going to have the victory. I'm going to be triumphant. And if you quote the Word of God, you'll find that out. You become thankful. You become thankful in your heart. No matter how terrible situations are. There is a God, it says in Hebrews 13:5, and I'm just going to read the last part of that. And here's why. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. We leave him, but he doesn't leave us. Wander away from him. He doesn't leave us. That's his promise right there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the depth of your valley, he's there. Even if you don't feel him, you don't sense him, he is there. When it looks like nothing's ever going to be the same, he's still there to guide you tomorrow. Look at Brother Job. He lost everything. Everything. And he still rejoiced and thanked the Lord. He praised him. Oh, I'm sure he is full of hurt that we read about it and everything. But look what happened in the end. Because he had hope. Because he knew God was always with him. God restored everything he lost than what he ever had. Remember, a Christian even experienced affliction, that God's mercy and grace is always present. It's always there. That's why when we're going through something, we need to not become dismayed, but to begin to praise him and to thank him and say, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening to me, why I'm going through this. I've been working hard to serve you, to live for you, to rejoice in you, but I'm still going through this trial. You can still be assured that he's still there and he will not forsake you. He will carry you through that time of life. He's been doing it for generations. The only people who miss out are the ones who give up on God. Only ones in the middle of a trial. If you give up in the middle of that trial, you miss the miracle. Because he's a miracle working God. He's a supernatural God. And when you and I give up, say, why God? Why God? I had one woman come up to me one time and she was angry, swearing and cussing out God because God didn't take care of a situation in her life. So she said, I'm never going to go to church again. I'm never going to talk to God again. I'm never going to. That's her problem. That's what the devil wants us to do. Because the Bible tells me that God will deliver us from all of our trials and tribulations. Not just certain ones. He said all of them. Amen?
Amen.
For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Revealed in who?
Us.
The glory revealed in us. We won't experience that if we give up on God. We should be so thankful for the Lord in every trial. Not for them, but in them. Because we know that God is with us and that he's doing something in me. When I walk through a tough time, God is doing something in me, trying to teach me something, to guide me to something, and to praise him and to thank him and to glorify him. Not only it helps me, but it helps the people that I live with. You don't get much joy out of the hour of the day, do you? You want to get away from them, don't you? That's why you learn to praise God, even with tears streaming down your eyes. Say, Lord, this is a heavy one on me, but I praise you. It'll bring faith to your loved ones. It'll be faith to the people you work with, around who you are with. It's how you are, to have a thankful heart. See, God has a bigger plan than you and I will ever know. And he's revealing that plan as we go through this journey of life. Pondering on this, we can always discern and give God thanks for what we're going through. Not easy, but we can do it. And when you do it, the Bible pleases God.
Yes.
Nothing else in Scripture pleases God. God says, your faith pleases me.
Yes.
And even in our struggle, we're crying out and God sees our pain and our hurt. And he hears us say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Brother Paul in Scripture is a prime example amongst others. But when you keep your eyes fixed on the Lord when you're going through them, he hears your faith and it pleases him. And he knows that he'll be able to accomplish that bigger plan in you than you even know about when you keep focused on him. But if we're repeating our problems and complaining, giving organ recitals, we're missing out what God... It's better to quote the Word of God than to quote the devil.
Amen.
The devil, he lost. You know, in politics today, one person lost and they're still complaining. And they always will, unless they get saved. But I tell you what, as Christians, we should be thanking God. When people do not take the time to acknowledge or thank God, it's because they really don't believe in His sovereignty. They think it's all, I'll take care of it. I did it. It's my way. But we got to realize that God is in our life. We need to acknowledge Him in every facet of our life. If you have a talent, a gifting, whatever it is, and if you exercise it, develop it, and become really good at it, it isn't because how great you are. It's because how great God has given you the ability to improve it. Yes. If you're a good athlete, it's because God gives you that ability. Whatever that vocation is, or whatever God calls you into, or just hobby or whatever it is, give God the glory and thank Him. Lord, thank You that I'm able to do this. Thank You. Thank You that I'm able to go out and rake my yard. Some guys don't like raking their yard. I touched a soft spot. Didn't even mean. Say, by the way, I need some guys out here to help. Got a lot of leaves out here. Lots of them. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And Paul is describing a group of people who knew about God. They knew about Him, of His existence, His powerful workings, and about His laws and His decrees. They knew all about the Lord, according to Scripture here. But their foolish hearts were darkened, descending into gross immorality and wickedness, and finally into apostasy. Their hearts for God. And they gave up on Him and they went back into the world, or are in the world. This is why I say gratitude is always to be expressed. Express it. You know, when somebody said, well, give me a compliment on something, I work, not every time, but most of the time, I will say to them, well, I really thank the Lord for that. He gave me the ability to do that. He's such a good God. He gave me the ability to do it. God has given me the ability to stand up here and talk. Whether you think it's good or bad, that's beside the point. He gave me the ability to stand up here and talk. There was one point in my life when I was young, I was too shy, crawling to, and I'd be as red as a tomato. And I thought, man, I could never stand up in front of people and talk. Well, God knew I could, but He had to allow things into my life to get me to the point where I would stand up in front of people. And I thank Him for that, that I'm able to express my thoughts and my love for Him through preaching the Word and encouraging people and witnessing to people, that it's Him, because of Him, not because how great I am in anything. It's because of Him working through me. And He's still working.
Yes.
He's still working. You know, I like, again, in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season and a purpose under the heaven. Did you hear that? Every purpose under the heaven. I think it's like 13 or 14 times it says there is a time. God has a time for everything in your life, for a purpose that will be fulfilled when you keep your eyes fixed on Him and be thankful in your heart, always looking to the Lord, thanking Him and praising Him even when you don't feel like it. When you jump out of bed in the morning, even if you're not feeling well or you look got a tough day ahead of you of meetings or whatever, you jump out and say, Lord, thank You for this new day. Thank You. Thank You for allowing me to get out of bed this morning. Right? Gratitude for the day. Because He is actually there listening to you. And He loves that. If you get out of bed, oh man, what a stinking day today. Doesn't that really set a nice tone? What a stinking day I got ahead of me. Maybe challenging. I like that word better. But I tell you what, if you get out and rejoice for this is the day that the Lord has made, yes, you will be thankful for this day. Yes. Because now you'll begin to see Him move in your life throughout that challenging day that you're going to have. Yes. Watch it. He's a supernatural. That's how He walks in our life. If we use heart of attitude of gratitude. Yes. of thanking him for it, even when things look cloudy all day. I have people always walk up and say, man, what a miserable day it is, cloudy and rainy and snowy or whatever it is. I said, yeah, but you know something? The sun is shining above the clouds. Now, didn't that sound better? It's a stinky, cloudy day. I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful for the sun that's shining above the clouds. I'm thankful for the freezing cold weather that Minnesota has because it keeps the mosquitoes down. You can thank God for it in your life if you really think about it. Man is created for worship. Man is created for worship. And if he refuses to let God have that place of true honor, which rightly belongs to the Lord, then mankind will put something or someone in God's place, and that's what they're doing. God gets all the worship, all the praise, all the glory. Nobody up here on the platform. And I thank God for the choir. I thank God for the musicians, the worship leading. None of them get any of the glory. The only reason they can do that is because God created them, gave them the instruments, whatever. He gets all the glory. Well, you got to honor people. We do. I just said that. I thank God for all of them. I'm glad they're doing it, not me in some cases, even though maybe I should be a singer. My wife laughed. Isaiah 43:21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Yes. Who's going to do it? You and I. Yes. We're the ones that praise God and how we live our life outside these walls and within our homes. We need to see mom and dad praising God and thanking God even when they're maybe having discussions or maybe they're not getting along and there's turmoil within the home. They need to see mom and dad still praising and thanking God. Not for the problem, but saying, Lord, you're here. You're going to get us through this time of our life. True victories in life are won by Christians who are joyful, prayerful, and thankful. Yes. I'm going to say that again. True victories in life are won by Christians who are joyful, prayerful, and thankful. Yeah. If we learn those things, we'll find out we'll get through those difficult times much quicker and easier. Yes. We are to express gratitude always because Scripture tells us to do it. We're to be thankful. Not asking and pleading. God says we're to be thankful in everything. David wrote in Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Where's everything you have come from? We should thank him for it. We should thank him for it. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth every need you have. Ecclesiastic again 3:13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his life. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
thank you for the harvest. Thank you for all the farmers in the fields out there that are growing crops and getting things prepared for us that we can have food on the table. It's a gift. Did you hear that?
Yes.
It's a gift of God. Instead of complaining about the Dinty Moore beef stew, thank him for it. Instead of complaining about Spam Ham, thank him for it. And it might not be real nutritious sometimes, but you know what my wife and I do, and I'm sure many of you do, we speak the blood of Christ over all of our food that we eat, especially in the hour we're living. What else can you do? We go to the supermarket and we buy. But God can turn that thing into a very nutritious thing if you're trusting him. Because the Bible also said if I take any poison, it's not going to harm me. Putting my trust in him. We need to remember always to be thankful for God's daily goodness and mercy. 2 Corinthians 9:15 starts out, thanks. Say that with me.
Thanks.
Now say it like you mean it.
Thanks.
Be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know who that unspeakable gift is?
Jesus.
It's Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. Without Jesus, we'd be all destined to hell. We are unthankful for our salvation. We complain, we murmur, we gripe, we don't even act like we have anything. We act like there's no hope in us. But we need to change that, people, because we serve a mighty God. And he tells me right here in 2 Corinthians, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, a gift he gave us. He sent from heaven to die up on a cross so I didn't have to do it. For the sins, even us, a rebellious people, even in our sin, he said, here's a gift for you that's going to bring you back to me. We're to say, thanks, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for thank we God without ceasing. Without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which is effectually worked also in you that believe. This is working in us. This is the purpose that God is working out in your and our life. Whatever is happening in your life, there's a purpose in it, and God is working it out. Thank you, Lord. Even if I don't feel it, see it, whatever, God's working that purpose out. Stay close to him in order for him to work that through you. Many of the Psalms remind us to express. 6:3 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Not just for certain times, forever. And we take that for granted. His loving kindness, his mercy, his grace, even when we're rebellious to him, he still shows us mercy and grace and love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we all say thank you, Lord?
Thank you.
How many need victory today? Huh? Thank the Lord. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. The theme of Paul's epistle often pointed Christians to thankfulness. Thanksgiving and praise always goes together. We cannot adequately praise and worship God without being thankful in our hearts. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, meaning Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to the God continually. How often?
Continually.
That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You see how important it is? Thanksgiving coming up. It can be an unhappy time for a lot of people, Christmas and Thanksgiving and so on and so forth. But always remember Thanksgiving. Be thankful. Just look to him and say thank you. Just thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you. For I know that whatever's going on in my life, that you're at work fulfilling that purpose. Please note how to praise the Lord, how we're to do it. It's only through Christ. In Jesus' name, I glorify. See, he's our intermediate between us and the Father. We're to thank the Lord through Christ. The Lord wants us to be thankful for many gifts. He says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We need to be reminded that everything we have is a gift from God. Everything. Without gratitude, we become arrogant and self-centered. We think it's all about us. We believe that we have achieved everything on our own. Thankfulness keeps our hearts in right relationship to the giver of all the everything you have in life. Remember to thank the Lord. It came from him. Every good and perfect gift. I had one guy say to me, God didn't do that for me. I did it. I worked hard. I achieved it myself. I got success. I did it. God has nothing to do with it. He was really ignorant. I told him. I didn't say you're ignorant. I just said, no, you're wrong. I said, God gave you the ability to get that. He's the one that gave you arms and legs and feet and eyes and hair and ears and everything and every organ in your being to accomplish what you got done in your life. It's all about Him. Without those things, you wouldn't have been a success. I remember one movie star got her Academy Award. She said, Jesus Christ had nothing to do with this. That was on TV. She was so wrong. Jesus Christ had everything to do with that. She was alive, and God gave her the ability to do what she did in order to get that award. Every perfect gift. I won't tell you the whole story. When I was in taking a, I can't think of the name, it just went right over me, but I won a pen. And I gave the Lord thanks in front of 43 salespeople. Why? Because God gave me the ability to stand up here and talk to you. And I had the ability to walk up here. I had the ability to reach out and grab that pen. Everything to get that pen, God gave it to me. Fill your minds and your spiritual hearts with biblical truth. You know, when you do that, you're destroying the works of the flesh, the worldview and the lies of the devil. And they're pumped at us continually. The Holy Spirit of Christ moved the Apostle Paul to write again in our text today, and I want to read it again. Rejoice evermore. Say that again. Rejoice evermore. Evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, much in everything. For this is the will of God. The two words in everything makes this exhortation kind of sometimes difficult, doesn't it? To thank the Lord for everything? If we're told in most things or in good things, we would find it much easier to say, I agree with that. But God said in everything, the Apostle Paul lived that, what he preached. And this is so clearly seen when we read the book of Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. What a mighty work God has seen in this portion of scripture in regard to our Lord intervening for those who praise him extensively. The Apostle Paul, in the name of Jesus, came out of a slave girl who predicted the future. Her owners, after realizing that their hope of making money was gone, had Paul and Silas dragged before the magistrates. After being stripped and beaten, they were thrown into the inner cell and their feet were put in stocks. The Bible says in Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Hallelujah! They were in difficult times, wouldn't you say? Yes. No, it wasn't a nice jail cell with a television and a computer and books and a library, exercises to pump up their muscles and everything, and wear clean white t-shirts every day, and a cave type thing. And they were beaten before they were put in there. And yet they sat there and they sang praises to God. They didn't look at themselves. They didn't say, oh, poor me. Ow, I hurt. I can't move or anything. They said, praise God. And they sang praises to him where the prisoners, guards heard them. That's what the world needs to hear right now. The church praising God. They need to hear it. Even when the world knows you got something wrong in your life, you're still praising God. They need to hear it. Our biblical example, Paul and Silas expressed expansive praise and others heard it. I believe the Holy Spirit magnified their praise. If you are by yourself or in a public location, don't be afraid to praise God. Amen. It's fun to do it. I love doing it when the opportunity arises. Not for show. I just love doing it. If I hear somebody give a negative thing about the Lord or what, I say, praise the Lord. And they look at me and say, why'd you say that? And it gives me an opportunity to witness because I said I love him. Just tell them straight out. You win people to Jesus that way. You plant seeds and people come to Jesus. That's what changes our world. When you verbally, expansive, give praise and thanks to God in public. You got to practice doing it at home. One would think that Paul and Silas would be moaning their plight, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think where they were at? Most certainly they were suffering from their flogging. Verse 33 said that washed their stripes. That means they were flogged and it cut through their flesh. They washed their stripes. Instead of complaining, we hear praying and singing. Glory to God. But notice that great Apostle Paul and Silas are not demanding a miracle, rather enjoying the power of praise. That's where the healing came from. That's where the deliverance came from, by praising and singing to God. That's where everything they needed at that moment was coming from, the throne room of God, because they turned it to, instead of about themselves. And they found out deliverance came. Rather than enjoying the power of praise, they didn't focus on their feelings and their circumstances and their discomforts. They focused on God. That's why if you're in the middle of something right now, do what Paul and Silas did according to the Holy Spirit. Begin praising God, even if it feels the toughest thing in the world to do. Praise Him. Say, God, I'm praising You. I don't feel like it right now. My circumstance is so incredibly hard. I don't feel like, I don't sense You with me right. Praise You anyway, Lord. I praise You. I glorify You. Pretty soon that praise will turn into singing. Hallelujah. 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 See, it's working. It's working. As the heartbeat of praise is given, extremely difficult circumstances, the Bible says in Acts 16:26, and suddenly, that's when your victory comes, and suddenly a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Everyone, every prisoner. But it happened suddenly because of Paul and Silas. They were praising the supernatural God, the God who created everything to Him. That's all they were focused on, nothing else. It's my understanding that if a prisoner escaped under the supervision of a jailer, the jailer paid the penalty and was put to death right away. Acts 16:27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison, he wasn't doing his job, by the way, he was sleeping. The doors open. He drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. The presence of God's Holy Spirit must have been really powerful that when he woke up. The jailer fell before Paul and Silas, trembling. That's what happens when you and I praise God. They bring Him to us, and they will drop to their knees and make a request. How must I be saved? Because they see the power of God moving in you in the midst of your trial, your situation of life. Acts 16:30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And there stood Paul and Silas with their backs beaten bloody, chained. Well, they weren't at that point. But they stood before this guy who was crying out and knew that he needed a Savior. He now knew these were servants of the Most High. Does the world around know that you're a servant of the Most High? Or do they see us as complainers and murmurers and angry and frustrated and downtrodden, or do they see as somebody that I praise God? It isn't the way I wanted it, God, but I praise You. But I know You're going to work it out. Yeah. How many here today are servants of the Most High? We need to express that. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, by the way. John 16:8, and when He has come, He will reprove. That means not condemn, but He'll bring conviction into our life about sin, the world of sin, and of righteousness. And Messiah shared the gospel, by the way. Acts 16:31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Wow. Look at everything that's accomplished by these two men sitting in a prison, in a dungeon, because of their attitude of gratitude. They had nothing focused but to praise God and to worship Him and to sing praises to Him. Paul promised salvation, not of the jailer only, but all of his house, the whole household. The jailer produced the fruit of repentance, by the way. Acts 16:34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, knowing and repenting of what happened in his life and rejoicing. He rejoiced as he brought the meat to the Paul and Silas. Believing in God with all of his house, his whole house was saved. His family was saved. It was important. All in one night, Paul and Silas were flogged, thrown into prison, freed by direct intervention of God, and royally entertained in the home of a rejoicing new convert, all in one night. Only God can do that. Maybe we need to see more of that, don't we? Wouldn't you love it if your house would become a place where people come in and get saved? Wouldn't it be neat if you go visit your friends that people in? That you stand for what you believe in a loving way.
Yes.
This Thanksgiving, we're going to be exposed to family and friends. We know that during Christmas and Thanksgiving, a lot of times attitudes are not gratitude. Might be because of the children, might be because of relationships, whatever the case, jealousy, whatever is going on. What is your Thanksgiving going to be like this year? Will you enter it and say, Lord, no matter what happens today, I'm just going to sit there and praise you, even if everybody says your turkey looks terrible? How could you make such a thing and serve it? I can sit there and she can either bawl her eyes out and feel sorry for herself. She said, Lord, I thank you. It's your turkey, Lord. It's your oven. No matter what they say to me, Lord, I'm going to praise you and thank you. And the person that maybe gave you the bad report on your turkey may turn to Jesus or realize, what did I say? And they may start to praise God along with you. See, we have the power within us through the Holy Spirit to change our family stuff. We can either get angry with people, be frustrated with people, or we can just say, even if they got nasty, rebellious kids or whatever that way and they put you down, you can stand there and say, Lord, I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they're going to sit there frustrated. And pretty soon they might start singing with you too. Expansive praise will usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit and great things can happen in your family. How many need great things to happen in your family? How many need your children touched by the power of the Holy Spirit? How many of you need your own personal life touched by the power of the Holy Spirit? I want this to soak in really deep today. Have an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through your life and you'll experience miracles. Your life is hidden in Christ regardless of the circumstance or outcome. We can be fully prepared to share with others about eternal things. Be prepared. Paul and Silas in prison. Imprisonment was an attack from the enemy. Working through unsaved mankind. The devil will bring people in their life to discourage us, to bring us down, to make us despondent, to make us unthankful. Turn it around and just be thankful. Even if it didn't work out the way you wanted to. Even if you didn't get that present you thought you were going to get for Christmas. Instead of being a griper and complainer, say, Lord, thank you. There's people in the world that will never see a give me one. And then they return it. See, we can do that in America. Jesus taught there are times when physical infirmities are from Satan keeping people bound too. Luke chapter 13, 11, 16, being bound by mankind because of faithful service to the Lord or being bound by infirmities from Satan are opportunities to give expansive praise to God. Do people around you know that regardless of your circumstance, good or bad, you live a life of praise to God? Do we praise Him? The world needs that. See, the world doesn't do that. They curse God. They use God's name in vain right in front of us. Even if they know you're a Christian, they'll do it. And if they do it, I'll do it right back to them only in praise. Not in anger, not that I'm going to get even with you. I do and say, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. And if they say it again, I say, Lord, I'm going to tell you again, I love you. I praise you. And pretty soon they're either going to walk away or drop to their knees. Christians who are Holy Spirit led in all circumstances obey the exhortation of Philippians 2, 14 and 16. I'm getting close to done here. I shouldn't be, but I am. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. So when you leave here today, you jump in your car as you get home, are you going to murmur and complain about something? that ye be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That should be a testimony for each one of us. Quality ministries that produce God-pleasing attitude take a heart. What is written in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. For this is the love of God, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's all right here. It's laid out in the book. Why are we fooling around with junk stuff in our churches today, when this is the greatest thing that can happen to us right here? Thank God for his written word. It's not boring. It comes to life when we do what it says. It's a miracle working book. The world is not to praise. They don't praise God. The lie of the devil says that the Lord is concerned about your present circumstance. That is a lie from hell. Luke chapter 13, 11, 16. I'm not going to read the whole story, just kind of touch on it here. The woman with a spirit of infirmity 18 years was bowed, bent over together, and could no wise lift up. She couldn't lift up. 18 years. 18 years. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. She couldn't lift up. Everywhere she'd go, she was bent down. Do you think she cried out to Jesus? Do you think she says, God, why? Why am I like this? Don't you know? Can't you see me? Oh, God could. But God had a purpose for that woman. And he allowed that to happen for a reason. It may be bad for us, but for God, he sees the end result. He sees the end result. It says in verse 12 of Luke 13, and when Jesus saw her, saw the woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. A time. There's a time for healing and a purpose. Jesus Christ got glory there. That woman, I'm sure she straightened out like this. And I believe her hands went up. And I believe she praised God. And guess what? I believe she's in heaven praising God right now, standing straight up, praising him and worshiping him and understanding, Lord, I know that was such a short period of time, 18 years, that was nothing. I'm in eternity now, praising you. I know why you did it, God. You used my life to touch other lives, to let them see that you care and you see what's... If there is not a wellspring of thanksgiving boiling up in your heart right now, then you're out of the will of God. I thank God for that. I thank God. We don't want to be like the little boy who thanked his grandmother for a piece of pie that he received. His grandmother said, oh, I like it when you say thank you. The boy replied, I will say it again if you would put some ice cream on the top of the pie. That isn't why we do it. We are not to say thanks so we can get more. We are to say thanks simply as a good. Just for God who he is. As we sung this morning, a good, good father. We express it as Christians to our Lord. And the world needs us to say that in front of them. I thank the Lord. Not be ashamed of it. When something works out good in your life and you're in a store, in a cafe, or wherever you're at, a grocery store, tell that person, I thank the Lord. It can generate witnessing, planting seeds. Give him the glory out into the world. The world needs to hear it, not just in here. Then he can sacrificially serve others as he meets their needs. God, and for the things he's done for us by helping others in the name of Christ. A thankful Christian will be a giving Christian, by the way. Acts 20:35. And by the way, this church is a giving church.
Yes.
Some might disagree with that, but that's your problem, not mine. I happen to know for a fact this is a giving church. Faithful givers. We give to missionaries. During this Thanksgiving Christmas season, we will be putting out a large check to an organization to feed the hungry, the poor, the needy, however they need to spend it. Hopefully to a place that spends it wisely. But Christians need to be giving people. Acts 20, through all things, how that so laboring ye ought to suppose the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Never be afraid to give God. Never be afraid to give God. You'll never outgive him. Some people are holding back of giving God because they say, oh, I need it worse than God does. No, you don't. God doesn't need it. He only wants it 10%. That's what he's saying. If it's 10%, if it's less, he'll take it. But I tell you what, 90% blessed is better than 100% cursed. Whatever that is, whatever you can give, if you are having struggles and you're starting out somewhere by faith and saying, God, I got $10 in my billfold, but I'm going to give you half of it. You don't have to be afraid. Pretty soon that five that's in your billfold or your purse, God stretches it. He literally does. I've heard many, 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 many testimonies of people say, man, I can't believe one woman called into SBN and she was an elderly lady on a fixed income and she hardly ever gave to God. And then she said, I started to do it. And she said, Pastor, she said, you know, but I always got money left in my purse. And I've been giving 10%. Never be afraid, I'll give. You know when we do that, we're showing praise to God. Yes. We're showing the world. Yes. I had one guy say, what are you giving your money to God for? He doesn't need it. I told him, because I love him, number one. He commands us to give to him. I do it because I love him. And I said, when I give to the Lord, you know what that money goes to? I was doing a little witnessing there. It goes to maybe build a church. Maybe to preach the minute, maybe to print Bibles, maybe to help some poor person. Of missionaries that are out there on the field with their children, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to change the world that you and I live in. That's what it goes for. Instead of going for a big car and a boat and a whatever, we learn to give God. God, he's a good God.
Yes.
You still mad at me?
No.
Oh.
I love that. No sense in it anyway, won't accomplish anything. But this reflects the idea that giving brings greater joy and fulfillment than merely receiving. It's been said, thanksgiving is just thanks than giving. You can give without being thankful, without giving. When you give, you're not only acknowledging that everything you have has been given to you by the Lord, but you are expressing your gratitude to him. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. A true attitude of gratitude will change your life, people. It'll change your life. It literally will. It will shield you from becoming overcritical. Critical people don't have an attitude of gratitude. They're always looking for something to criticize about. If criticism comes to your mind, probably put there by the old.
Amen.
If you think of something critical about me today, turn it into praise and say, Lord, thank you. I don't agree with the dude, but Lord, thank you that he's willing to speak it. I praise you that we have a church that we can go to. Turn it into praise and thanksgiving to God. It will draw you close to the God, and it will make you more aware of his presence in your life, by the way, too. So in conclusion, I'll stop there. Walter B. Knight wrote about the ceaseless praise of a leper. He writes, this true story, by the way. David was a black preacher, a leper, and a patient in the in Carville, Louisiana. He was crippled, deformed, and blind. Yet he was cheerful and thankful. He sang hymns of praise and greatly inspired all the other lepers who suffered the same health problems that he did. A note of thanksgiving was always dominant in his prayers. An old-fashioned radio brought joy to him. He turned it on and off with his lips, for his fingers were useless. It was told that Pastor David, he brought the joy of the Lord to all who heard his praise, and he saw the life he lived. Pastor David, the black priest in Louisiana Hospital for lepers, expressed a true attitude of gratitude. What a testimony. What a testimony. You know, our black brothers and sisters come from a great heritage. But think of this man. I think about him. He turned his radio on every single day, rejoicing and singing hymns to God with his lips. How many of us would complain and murmur? God, why don't you give me my hands back? Why don't you do this? Why don't I? No, he didn't do that. The Bible tells us, or not the Bible, but this report tells us how he was. Chances are we can always have a testimony that glorifies God who created us. The Christ who died for us and testifies to the Holy Spirit. The Christ who enables us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, closing with these two scriptures, "But ye are a chosen generation, a priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." An attitude of gratitude affirms the heart of the psalmist also, who wrote in Psalms 116, verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" Then he answers his own question in verse 13. He says, "I shall and call upon the name of the Lord." Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know if you liked this message, but I did. That's why I preached it. Because I want to have an attitude of gratitude, church. It will change our world. It'll change your home. It'll change everything in your life. So that I don't hold you too long here, everybody, I want you to use this altar this morning and say, "God, I come to you with an attitude of gratitude. I don't want to, but I'm going to." Just start coming up. I'm already up here. I beat you. Thank him while you're coming up here. Thank him while you're doing it. Glorify him while you're doing it. And if you can't, that's okay. We see you sitting there. We can praise and glorify God with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
All the
glory to God. Hallelujah. Is there anyone in here this morning, said, "Pastor," with your heads bowed right now, that would just say, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody, just going to ask you to raise your hand. If you've never given your life to Jesus, say, "I want to this morning. I want my life changed. I want to live for the Lord." Is there anybody? Is there anybody before I go forward? Hallelujah. How many in here with me have been convicted even when I did this message in my heart, saying I haven't had an attitude of gratitude in things in my life? Just raise up your hands. Maybe we've taken our children for granted. Maybe we've taken our husbands for granted. Maybe we've taken our wives for granted. Maybe our relatives, our brothers, our sisters, whoever. Maybe we're taking our church for granted. And we do. That's why people, they come and go out of a church. They don't come back if they hear something they don't like. Because they take for granted the things that they need to hear. And they're missing what God wants to do. So right now with me, I'm going to say a prayer. You can pray with me or pray your own prayer before the Lord. You can say it out loud That's okay, we're all praying together. But I tell you what, people, you need to thank this Heavenly Father right now, because He's here right now. He's here. He's here. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. He's reading your email. He's looking at your heart due to gratitude, because He's got so much more for your life for purpose. And He wants to use you. He has difficult things for you and I to do even. And He wants us to remember that when we go into those difficult situations, to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. So Heavenly Father, we the body of Christ, we stand before you right now in the name of Jesus. And we come to you through Jesus, Lord, to say thank you. Lord, thank you for our lives. There's been some in this crowd, maybe even that have not been thankful for their life. Maybe they complain because of who they are, what they look like, where they were born, who they were born to. Complaints. But Lord, let them be here this morning and to reach up and say, Lord, thank you for my life. For you created me for a purpose in this world and for all eternity. I don't understand it. It's been difficult. It's been challenging. And I don't even know what tomorrow is going to hold. But I know who holds to tomorrow. Because you said you would never leave me, forsake me. So Lord, I stand before you and I say, here's my heart. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. I give you glory for everything I have in this world. I thank you for how far you've brought me. I thank you for how far you're going to take me, for saving me. I've taken my salvation for granted. I live like the world. I act like the world. I smell like the world. And I ask for forgiveness, God. But your grace and mercy, I thank you for it. You will forgive me. For you are a Father that said, if you ask forgiveness, I'll forgive it. And we stand before you, Lord. And I thank you for your righteousness and your mercy and your justice. I thank you. Lord, thank you for my life. Help me to use my life to thank you to everyone that comes around me. Help me to remember that in my job. Help me to remember that in my school. Help me remember even when I'm in church. When I come in with a bad attitude, help me to turn it to a grateful attitude, an attitude of thanks. Help me to quit looking for the negatives, but looking for you in all things, that I can change and I can experience your miracle and your presence in my life, and I'll be a much more joyful Christian. Thank you, Lord, for this day. This is a beautiful day you've given us, God. It's a beautiful day. Rejoice. We rejoice in it. Lord, even when we leave this church this morning, you're going with us. You never leave us. And Lord, help us to look for wonderful out there. Maybe we got to go back into a house where there's turmoil and it can change our thinking. But Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to have that attitude of gratitude. Help me to walk in, and even if there's negative things going on or bad things, Lord, just let me say out of my lips, I thank you. I don't need to shout it. I don't need to have a big smile on my face. I can just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, for you created me. That purpose that you said in your word will come to fruition in my life. How, when, I don't know where, but it will. So Lord, even if I'm being yelled at, ridiculed, put, rejected, whatever it is, Lord, I say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Because see, Jesus, you experienced all those things. You were rejected by the whole world, and you looked up and you said, thank you, Lord. You were sought after. You were used. You were abused. You were stripped naked and put on a cross, and you looked up and you thanked the Heavenly Father and you said, Lord, forgive them. But you maintained that thankful heart. You took joy even in your death. Joy in us even in our difficult times. For Lord, you see the end from the beginning. So Lord, help us to encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, to love each others. And if there's negative thoughts that would come against one of us, Lord, help us to turn it into a positive thing of prayer for that person. Let us be joyful in our spirits to love one another, that this church can grow and mature in you, that others can come in here, that this church will be prepared for a mighty move of God, that there will be mature Christians in here and not a bunch of babies. But Lord, you are in times. Let us be mature in our walk with you, but let it start within our own self and within our homes. And we'll give you all the praise, and we'll give you all the glory, we'll give you all the honor. And we thank you, Lord, for this special day coming up that this world celebrates, and that's an important day, Thanksgiving. And let that day be toward you, toward you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for America.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for our city. Thank you for our state. For Lord, you're ultimately in control. And we give you again all the praise, honor, and everybody shout it out loud.
Amen.
Look at somebody as you fellowship today.
Pastor, before we leave, I think we should sing one song of thanks to the Lord. Would you agree?
Thank you.